Blog Talk Radio. Miss DeBoer.
I am here.
Yeah, I saw you. I called your line to leave your message. I was having technical difficulties. So we are going to get right into it. Technology has a mind of its own sometimes, but
yes,
we are going to rock and roll. So we are going
okay.
to go right ahead. I think the announcement started 5 minutes ago. Okay.
Okay.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes
Welcome to Daphne's New Day Show. You notice we are having a kind of a new look and a new name. So it is taking me a bit to get used to the new name and the new look. But just work with us. You know, we are all a work in progress. And we are just listening to the suggestions you all give. We cannot use them all at the same time, but we'll test them out and we'll see which one the greater number of people like. So thanks for all of your input from the survey, and thank you for all your support and your love and prayers and blessing. I am extremely excited about the episode today because my first guest is a lady who is local to Connecticut, someone that I have known and respected for many years. And I feel extremely blessed because she has decided to come on with me this morning and to share her story. And her story, I know, is one that wherever you are, whichever country or state you're in, you will find some information, some education, and of course, some empowerment in that story, which will help you to really harness and embrace your calling. So, without any further delay, I know she was hanging out in the green room for the longest time, and without any further delay, I would like to welcome my friend and colleague, Miss Annie Dubois. Annie, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for this blessed opportunity to speak live on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's a blessing because you are doing some phenomenal work in the Bridgeport area and other surrounding towns. I look at you and I get dizzy. I say, she's doing so much for so many people and touching so many lives. So I just want to thank you for being a role model for teenagers, for women, and for minorities, because you are a true example of what it means to pay it forward and to pay back to your community. So I applaud you, Annie.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is, I don't know if you know, but today is my 49th birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. I didn't know that.
Yes,
and
today,
yesterday was my friend, my spiritual sister, Trish Cook, birthday. So happy birthday to you, Trish.
Yeah.
Ah, wonderful. Well, I won't keep you long today because you have to do special things for you today, lady.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But I wanted to take the opportunity to share with you, and thank mm-hmm. you again so much for this opportunity. And I'm just going to, you know, kind of go to the beginning and just kind of breeze through this. I'm not going to take a long time.
No, that's all right. But tell people about the humble beginning, because a lot of times we don't embrace all the blessings we have. And because I've noticed there are a lot of people who tend to be comparing themselves with others instead of mm-hmm, embracing mm-hmm, their mm-hmm. uniqueness and their authenticity. So
yes.
I want to begin at the beginning and lay it out for us.
Okay, all right. Well, I am the daughter of Jonathan and Nanny DuBose, and I have two brothers, and I am the middle child of these two major men, Kenneth DuBose and Jonathan DuBose Sr., and we were raised in a family of musicians and ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, when we were early on in life, my mother, when we would get up for Sunday morning worship, my mother would put on C.L. Franklin.
Mm.
And C.L. Franklin was the father of Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about somebody who can preach.
Ooh. and sing too.
He would preach and sing, exactly. And so we would get up in the morning and listen to C.L. Franklin. And my youngest brother was very, very, very much impacted by the listening of C.L. Franklin too. If you go to his church now, which is the St. James Missionary Baptist Church in Norwalk, Connecticut, you will hear a resemblance of C.L. Franklin. My brother Jonathan had the opportunity of being marked by B.B. King, and I'm trying to think of some others. Another uncle I had, his name was Uncle Willie. He played guitar. And my Uncle Willie, again, he was an anointed guitar player, and my brother is now one of the premier guitar players throughout the world, guitar players. And I'm saying all that to say that your foundation in life is subject to what you were given permission to experience in the home. That's what you become a product of. My mother, in terms of myself, was very instrumental in me becoming a prayer warrior, and one who knew how to touch the heart of God.
Isn't this interesting? Because as we look back over history and even Bible times, we know that the women are always the ones who are continuously in the face of God.
Yes.
Seeking and pressing. So for you to say this now, it's just an affirmation to know women. Prayer always depend on us, and we need to lift our young women up and help them to understand, to know, to stay on their knees.
Yes, 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 because it is through the prayer of, her name was, we called her Mama Nanny. It was through the prayer of Mama Nanny that Jonathan and Kenneth and myself and even my dad, who I will certainly give a few minutes, it is through her laying the foundation and her praying for us and her nurturing us and her giving, sacrificing. It is through her gifts of love that we became the entrepreneurs and the ministers and the minister of music that we have become. And so I had to go back to where it started. It started with my mom, but before my mom, there's my dad, and his name is Jonathan Dubose, Papa Joe. Papa Joe, we call him. And he laid the foundation for music.
Yes, yes, yes. And you, even today, on your 49th birthday, for all the many things you do, you incorporate music. And now I understand, because over the years I have read the richness surrounding you about music, but I didn't understand the foundation of it. And your mother was just doing that to speed along the morning, but she was really engraving in your minds as children the importance of music.
Yes.
You know, and
who
knew that today, so many years later on, you would be using that to lay out the foundation of where your history and your journey of success started.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to tell you, what took place in terms of me really embracing the music and the art and those particular sides is Dad's 70th birthday, which was last year.
Yes.
So what happened was we decided at the last minute, when I say last minute, it wasn't 6 months ahead. It was like a month before.
Wow.
And we children decided we're going to give Dad a 70th birthday celebration at a church where his group, called the Sensational Starlights, used to have their Mother's Day programs, going back to Mother again. And they would have programs, we're talking about years, they had over 30 years of Mother Day programs, you know, honoring mothers and honoring the hats and so on and so on. So we honored him at this particular church, and during that time, naturally, I'm a business person, so I put together a patrons booklet, and which is called 70 and Beyond. And as I was putting it together, Daphne, the spiritual creative juices said, this is too important just to make it a one-time patrons booklet.
Wow.
Take your time and collect more information about who you are, where you came from, because this particular publication can
yes.
be a seed sown for a
yes.
young person or a mother or someone who has a child, but they don't have a formula of what they want to sow into that child.
Mm-hmm.
But this
mm-hmm.
book can be sown and given to a parent, given to a teacher, given to an educator, that they can sow this. And this will be kind of like a guideway to show, oh,
mm-hmm.
wow, this is what you can do. Yes, you
mm-hmm.
make an intentional and a deliberate act to
mm-hmm.
surround your children with music, surround your
That's
children
right.
with creativity early
mm-hmm.
on.
That's
and
right.
It's almost like you become a tree. It's a seed. It starts small, but if you water it, and if you continue to give to it, and if you continue to nurture it, it will
mm-hmm.
grow into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when 30 years later, and if you continue with it, it will blossom fruit over and over and over and over again.
And this is so needed now, especially these are the times when families have moved away for different reasons. And they do not have the older grandparents and great-grandparents to sit with them to tell them the stories. Some of these families cannot even afford to go back to visit for vacation. So all this richness is missing in their lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have to find a way to really implement, if you may, and create our own history books.
Yes.
Where one child can tell the other, or a cousin can say, oh, well, I remember when, and then we can pull what we all have in which to create this. And, oh, congratulations again.
Well, thank
on
you
that,
so much.
On
thank
that.
You. Thank you. Thank you. It is a process that I want to go back to the actual 70th. So we had the birthday,
mm-hmm.
and I'll tell you that the
birthday
wings,
party. Okay.
No. The wings of destiny just
mm-hmm.
took it, and it just beautiful outcomes and beautiful orchestrations and beautiful events from that one day.
Yes.
Just evolved by themselves. Well, I wouldn't say by themselves, but naturally we had something to do with it. But it was ease. It was love.
Because
was
that
creativity.
Was what the Spirit wanted to happen. So
yes.
once you step out in obedience, because maybe you fought for 6 months about putting the party together because you all probably think it's going to cost this amount, we don't
mm-hmm.
have. You know how we all come up with different reasons and excuses. But when God saw that you were obedient in following through and trusting him.
Yes.
And I strongly believe and feel that it is because you three stepped out and said, well, hey, we can't do it, but we know there is somebody greater than us who have all the resources that we need.
Right.
And
exactly.
and so you got an affirmation and it just came off and you say it took wings and fly.
Yes. Yes, and it's continuing to evolve, and more people are coming aboard. And it's an easy process. It's not like pulling teeth. It is, and going back to what you were saying, it's about obedience and that
yes.
when God gives you an instruction,
mm-hmm.
the best way to execute that instruction is swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
Do it swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do things,
that's right.
when he gives it to you swiftly, then it almost like it leaps you 2, 3, 4, 5 places forward.
Exactly, before you even recognize them.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I want to take a minute here. I did not announce that the chat room is up and running, and also people can call if you have a question, remark, or something for Anne. You can call 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. Thank you, Annie.
So,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The bottom line in terms of this particular project is it is a work of love. It was a work of love, and I have given myself to it, and I look forward to the opportunity to share the foundation of where we came from, and which is leading us forward to where we're going. And
yes.
It's rich. It is a blessing, and I'll tell you right now, there's an organization called VH1 called Save the Music. And I know for a fact that music saves lives.
Oh, yeah.
Music divine music. Let's put a specific, real specific term on. Divine, heavenly music redeems, saves, enriches lives. When a child, and it doesn't have to be a child, it can be a grown person who still have that childlike side of themselves.
Those who embrace that.
Yes, incorporate it into your world and into your life. Your life will be so much richer. And so, go ahead.
But if we look back over history and during the times when people were going through difficulty, even when they did not have instruments, what did they do? They did a cappella music. They sang.
They sang.
From the core of their soul.
Yes, they did.
And deliver themselves out of whatever was going through.
Yes.
Or I visit Boston like once a year. And I don't know if you have been to Boston in a while, Anne, and they have all these different musicians there. And I'm talking about musicians who are playing music on plastic buckets, old the basin that you take out the bathroom, the basin. The wash basin?
Yes, yes.
The little one? And that's what they have playing. Or they have cans that you remove products from and you use it, you have those things. And I've been looking around and I said, my God, how creative.
Yes.
They are not sitting around and say, I can't afford an electric guitar. But they go and they look around their homes. I see people with plastic pipe, metal piping. And I said, what skills and what talent? So people can always find an outlet in music.
Yes, exactly. They can. And going back to what you were saying, to even take it a little deeper, our ancestors during slavery, that's what they did. They sang.
Ooh.
And their singing was not just a singing of deliverance. It was a singing of message. This is how they communicated.
That's right.
It's where they were going the night before, or where they were going to escape, or where their meeting was. And so music became a means of communication in terms of a secret message of deliverance for our people. So music, and going back to what you were saying, even in the Bible, you had the walls of Jericho came down. Why?
That's
because
right.
of music.
That's right. That's why
the trumpet that sounded.
The praises go up, the blessings come down. You know, if we would just close our mouth to the whining and the complaint and tap into that little song that we know and we just praise as much as we can, we'd be surprised to know how blessing. I know what you're saying because that's part of my life, you know. That what has helped me because in my earlier years, I used to be running to everybody and discussing this and discussing that. And I'm thinking, after you get older, you realize, that's the wrong way. You know, just tap in to stay on your knee and get up in praises and you do what you have to do. And you will get rewarded. Well, let's fast forward now to where you are. I know how passionate you are about music, but there's still yet a lot of other important things that you have done over the year and are still doing. Let's talk about some of the things that you are involved with in your community.
Okay. Well, as you know, and me and you both are into this, and that's TV.
Mm-hmm.
I am a broadcaster. The name of my company is called AEO Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a broadcaster. I broadcast TV shows prior to doing what I'm doing now, which is hosting shows with Dr. Miles Monroe, and I am so fortunate.
Oh, yes. He's a blessing.
Yes, there's a series called Kingdom Law, Kingdom Living.
Mm-hmm.
And since September of this year, I have had the blessing and the privilege to sponsor his segment on my show, which comes on every Monday night at 10:30. And that's one thing that I'm doing. And I've been doing TV for, I'd say, maybe 10 years.
Congratulations.
Consecutively. And you know, 5 years for sure. And it has been a journey. I also have the opportunity of doing TV tapings and radio shows simultaneously at Fairfield University, WVOF, 88.5 FM, and I would record artists and poets and authors and musicians that would go on and tell their story or tell their a product they've done. And we would talk, and I would just record. I was basically the producer and the editor and so on, and I would record that. And that was an opportunity for people to get to know who was in their community and what they were doing. And so I've done that. And so now I'm going back to my musical roots because, you know, that's why I talked about the music early on. And working with my brothers, they have an organization that an initiative that they started called Music Worship and Fine Arts Conference, and we're basically, or they are, doing music conferences around the Connecticut area, and then some will branch off into other states, but music is where it has been for me, and I'm excited about that. And last, but certainly not least, this summer I had an opportunity to work with the Zion Academy Bible Institute, and the dean is Dr. Hazel Newton, and I had an opportunity to teach a class, two classes, and she's called me back for the winter semester, and I will be teaching meditation.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, let's talk on meditation for a while.
Okay.
How long has meditation been a part of Anae's life? And what type of meditations do you practice?
Okay, thank you for asking. Meditation has been a part of my life over 10 years, maybe I'd say 15.
Mm-hmm.
Transcendental meditation is what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation has definitely been one of the reasons that I have been able and successful in some of the areas that I've been successful in. Because when you meditate, you still your mind, because the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You still your mind and you allow the mind that is the mind, which is the all-knowing mind, to now filter to your mind. And the ideas, the concepts, the wisdom, the witty inventions, all these things come from the mind of Christ, but it is also a part of the technique that is given when you do meditation. Now, when they teach you TM, they don't teach TM as a religion. They teach TM as a scientific way of approaching meditation. And basically what happens is you have a teacher and they give you a mantra, and that mantra is something that you muddle in your mind as you meditate. It has nothing to do with you thinking and trying to get control of anything. No, you just still yourself,
you think about the mantra and you just naturally allow the process and the mantra to do its own thing. And sometimes you might think about something else. It is a natural process, but meditation has been the, I want to say the lifesaver, because meditation takes you from utilizing the sense realm to utilizing the inner, the third eye, inner realm. And when you do that, you tap into your intuition. You tap into foresight. You start to see things before they arrive. That's how you, that's how you're able to become, what's the word I want to use? You become like a,
It provides clarity.
Yes, you know, it does.
You know, it gives clarity. And I know that this, I am one who practices meditation, and I have gotten into extremely stimulating dialogue with other Christians who do not understand how I could be born again, saved, spirit-filled, sanctified, and all those, and practice meditation, because they see meditation as New Age. And so then I get into the conversation to discuss with them, what does New Age mean for them? And I said, to me, it looks like the word success. Each of us will define success differently, because to each of us, it means something different. So I think I was excited that you went straight into that, because I think you read my mind. That was going to be my next question to you, Anne, because I wanted to hear you speak about how you utilize meditation and what it has been doing in your life. Because I think that a lot of saved folks are still extremely ignorant.
Yes.
They read the Bible and they still do not understand, and they don't research and seek for themselves. They oftentimes just listen to what somebody else says, and they really don't know, and they hinder themselves from prospering and from growing.
Well, yes, the scriptures plainly say, in all thy getting, get an understanding. And there are a lot of people who lack understanding because, as you say, they refuse to do the research.
Yes.
They refuse to, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved.
Right.
Which means that you have to take some initiative, not go to the church every Sunday and look into somebody's face and ask them to tell you what to do. No. You have to, in your own private time, get the Bible, get a pen, get a pad, and sit down and research and allow the Word to illuminate and give you insights. Because as you live day to day, your preacher, your priest, your rabbi is not going to be there for you.
I tell you something, Anne. It's interesting you said that. I was in conversation, just casual conversation, with a dear friend of mine the other day. And she had asked me where a scripture was found. And I didn't know at the time. And I said to her, I will search it out and let her know. To be honest, I got busy and I forgot. But then a couple days later, we were on the phone again. And she said to me, oh, by the way, I found out where that scripture was. I said, good, because I forgot to check it out. She said, you would not be surprised. I went someplace, I'm not going to call the pastor's name, and she saw this pastor, so as she said, oh, I was so sure that he knows where it is, so I asked him. And he looked at me and he laughed and he said, girl, you can just put it in Google. That's where I find everything.
You okay?
Excuse me. I'm just, because I've been sick for 2 days, so I'm still getting over. But that laugh just stirred the cough up.
Wow.
And we both had a healthy laugh because neither she nor myself thought about Googling it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But
she
couldn't wait on me to find it. And she said, this person has all the answers. And he said, no, I'm getting most of my answers from Google. So you can go there and find it too.
Yes,
so I'm so thankful that you mentioned about our spiritual leaders are not always going to be there.
No, well, and they keep, well, first of all, I mean, when we get up in the morning, Dynamic Daphne, I call you.
Mm-hmm.
When we get up in the morning, you either have the voice of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. whispering direction to you, or you have another voice whispering to you. I say the voice of the left.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there's always a voice that's telling you where to go, what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you can acclimate your being,
mm-hmm.
so it attunes itself with the being of the Most High God, going with the scripture, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow mm-hmm. of the Almighty. What does that mean? It means that he's going to cover you. And if he's covering you, he's with you. You don't
all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
But if you don't become aware, and this is what meditation does for me, Daphne, it just allows me to become more heightened and aware
yes,
that the presence.
Yes, in the now. In the now.
In the now.
In the now. You cannot be in 10 minutes down the road, 5 minutes. You just have to be in the now because this is what we see right now. This is all we have. And I think what we need to do as a people is to slow ourselves down. Everybody's so busy, and you are so correct in saying there are the voices. The voices are there.
Mm-hmm.
But we are really not hearing because we are so busy. You know, people swing their legs off their beds, and the sole of their feet hit the ground. And they get busy. There's all this turmoil that begins in their life. And we have to practice ourselves, especially as women. You know, we figure we got to get this done, get that done, get the other done. And we are really doing ourselves an injustice in not spending quality time with ourselves so that we can be able to give quality time to others.
That's true. That's true. And I've said this before, that this is not what I'm about to say is not anything new, but silence is golden.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And I tell you, this is not a laughing matter, but I'm going to tell you something. Every time that I do a retreat, especially a 3-day weekend retreat, there is a lot of silence activities that is included.
Mm.
And the older people are, the more difficult it is for them to be quiet. I observe people going around disturbing others who are really practicing their silence activities. And when we process the activities, people cannot cope with it. Oh, it's frightening for them to be quiet. But I say, do you know the richness that it brings to your life? And it always amazes me to watch them blossom from Thursday night to Sunday afternoon. And when we conclude, and to watch them with tears in their eyes after they really got into their silent time. I've seen women who have written poetry, who have designed things because they had such clarity and they understand what it meant to really still themselves and just gather all the insight and information that was coming to them. And after they got that, they said, well, there's no turning back now. Now I know where I can find solitude. For myself, it's in the stillness and in the quietness of time.
Yeah.
I know, you know, you and I, we can go on this for 6 years, girl, and not ask for a drink of water. Let's talk about Anae, the female entrepreneur. Let's talk about, over the years, some of the challenges that you have encountered being a female entrepreneur and how you rose above that.
That's a good question. It has been a very, very interesting, I'd say. In terms of broadcasting, you know that there's not too many females in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find yourself, as James Brown said, this is a man's world.
We're going to have to break that mold, girl.
But I'll say this. It is through the ingenuity, through the concepts, and through the precepts of Christ.
Amen.
See, I'll say this. People don't understand that the Heavenly Father is one of the greatest businessmen, the business beings there is.
Hallelujah to that.
This is a being that has the whole galaxy right now hanging in the balance, but hanging in the balance with precision.
Yes.
Accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Spirit of God says that the sun is going to rise at 5 o'clock a.m., it's going to rise.
Ain't nobody stop that.
We're talking about a being of integrity.
That's right.
Of being of precision, of being of business.
Mm-hmm.
So the Heavenly Father is not just someone to heal the wounds of emotionalism.
That's right.
Heal the soul. The heavenly being is a creator. And that's what he's looking for, individuals who will allow themselves to be a vehicle.
To be used.
An instrument to be used to create.
Yep. That's right. That's right. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And you know why some people are not able to create? Because they keep looking at someone else instead of looking inside and taking action based on the directives that we get from those voices that Anae spoke about earlier on. We need to just step back, be still and listen and take action. Because just like Anae mentioned about the music and all that, that has been around her from early days, and she has found a way to incorporate it in what she's doing. There's something that has been happening to each and every one of us, and we need to take inventory of what it is. We all have so much richness lying dormant around us, and we need to embrace and utilize those things.
Exactly. And I would second that to say that for those of us who are biblical, because we've been talking on biblical terms, the scripture says the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is within. So if the kingdom of God is within, then I don't need to be looking outside of myself.
That's right.
For the answer and for the direction. I need to know, first of all, I need to know that the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. It is God's way of being. And so what you need to look at, you need to go out and look at the landscape now. You see the fall of season is here, and you see the trees and the change and the colors. If that's the way the being does things, then I want to do things like that. Because it is beautiful. It is exquisite.
That's right.
It is excellent. And so all God wants us to do is give yourself to yourself.
Amen. Amen. I like that. Give yourself to yourself.
To yourself.
That's right. Anae,
yes.
Beside your music and your meditation, during those challenging times, where else do you turn to for support, solitude, motivation, empowerment, all those energetic things?
Okay. Well, I do have several sources that I turn to. And I do have a very good friend who has been my teacher in terms of agape love. And I'm not going to mention his name, but he
That's all right.
Yes, he has definitely been one that has taught me what agape love is. And I'm just going to read a little bit of Corinthians, and I might not read the whole thing, but Corinthians 13 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become of sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Rejoiceth not in evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, thinketh all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." And I'm going to go down to the last verse. It says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love."
Amen.
And what? And let me just share this. And what I've learned about love is, love is a power that transcends, and that upholds the whole universe. And when you allow love to come in, you won't allow envy, strife, anger, malice, those negative emotions to overtake you. Now, they might present themselves.
That's right.
To you, but they will not overtake you, because love will look at it and say, "You know what, Father, forgive them.
That's right.
Have mercy on them."
That's right. That's right. We have 12 minutes remaining and, in this episode, and I want to ask you, I know you're also a poet, so I don't know if you want to read one of your pieces for me. I want to give you time to say yes or no to that. But I was led to ask that question because people need to understand, even though when we have all the other components in place, we need a physical person to bounce things off on. And you have a teacher.
Yes.
You know, I have a mentor. I have a coach. I have teachers. And we all need to have somebody that we can go through, somebody that will allow us to stretch. So I'm glad that you, your spirit went into telling us about your teacher who have helped you over the years. So thank you for that.
And that's just one teacher. I did not mention, can I take the opportunity to mention the two others? I do have two others, and I would like to mention their names. Dr. Creflo Dollar has been one of my teachers. We're talking about over 15 years. I've listened to, he has been someone who has coached me in terms of thinking. The importance of accurate thinking. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And Dr. Leroy Thompson here recently has been teaching on the power. Definitely. Daphne, you okay? Okay. All right. And Dr. Leroy Thompson here recently has become someone because he's teaching about living from the inside. Living from the inside, and that life is lived from the inside. And when I learned that process, that's when things became easier. I didn't have to against someone else. I didn't have to look at what and say, well, what they're doing, this is what I should do because they're doing it. Because when you're living from the inside, it's all genuine. It's all
authentic. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay, I want to ask, do you have a poem you would like to read? We have 9 minutes remaining in this segment.
Yes.
We will continue speaking until the next guest call in, but I want to know, you have a poem you want to share?
I do.
Okay. All right. So if you would share that, and then we just tie up and summarize.
Okay. This is a parable poem. Mm-hmm. And a parable poem is basically a poem that I say from the heart.
Mm.
And this is to every listener that's listening, and hopefully I will say something. And this is all coming from my heart and coming from the hip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once upon a time, on November 3rd, on Blog Talk Radio, I was talking with Dynamic Daphne, and the Spirit said to speak a word. This word is to someone who's going through. You don't know quite what to do. But I want to ask you to do this one thing. To stand still and stand clear, because something is about to come and change. You see, there's a God that loves you far above anything you can ask or imagine. But you must understand, to come to him when things are wrong. So right now, I decree, as the prophetess that I am, that intervention in good will change this time. What was meant to bring harm will now be healed in the mind. You will come forth and you will rise with victory in this situation. You will not fall. Listen to me. You are made to stand tall. Christ, the King, has come into the realm. The Spirit of Truth is here for you. You are more than a conqueror, far above anything you can ask or think. Take this word into your spirit. Take it right now. Then sit down, write a plan, make it plain, and ask your angels to help. There's deliverance for you if you believe what I'm saying too. God is everywhere. He's right here, right now. But deliverance, I call, I speak to everyone that listens. This is your time. This is your season. Let victory, prosperity, abundance, promotion, favor be yours. Receive it, believe it, now watch it come to pass. That's my word for every radio audience listener.
Amen. And I just want to challenge the listeners who have received this word to call in, and once they call in, when they listen to the word, accept the word, I want them to call in with their testimony.
Yes.
About what this this word meant for them. And we have a caller. Let me see whether this is someone calling for you or it is my guest, okay?
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Your first three digits are 209. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Jabez calling from Las Vegas.
Good morning, Jabez. Would you hold on?
Of course.
Just closing up with the other guest.
Absolutely.
Okay. Aneg, just continue. This is my other guest is on. I want to thank you for this engaging and stimulating conversation this morning. And if you would just take 2 minutes and summarize your thoughts, and then please tell the listeners how they can contact you, Ane. I would appreciate that, please.
Certainly. Daphne, first of all, I want to thank you for what you do and for the empowerment and the inspiration that you share on Blog Talk Radio. I want to honor you for the time that you give to so many who are listening and who are blessed by what you do. I want to take that time and say that. I want to wrap this up by saying that nothing is impossible and that we serve a God who can intervene and change things when we know that he can. So just know that God can. For those of you who are like what you heard and want to know more, you can visit my site, aeotv.biz, that talks about my TV episodes, and also aeo.podbean.com, and that talks about the 70 and beyond publication that I did about my dad, who is a quartet singer and has invested in our lives. And certainly I'm on Facebook, Ane Dubois, if for those of you who are on Facebook. And again, this has been certainly a wonderful time talking and conversing with you, Daphne. It has been one of the most open conversations I've had on the air.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and keep doing all the wonderful things you are doing, and I'm sure we will be in touch real soon. You have a blessed day, and I hope you can probably hang around to listen to my other guests.
I will do that, and thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, lovely. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. Where's Mr. LeBret? Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning, Daphne. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am sounding much better today. I did not have a voice for 3 days, but I'm thankful that I got it back this morning. And thank you for rising early.
No, of course, of course. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited.
Well, I must tell the listeners, you know, that they know how I'm always getting involved in this group and that group and the other group. And as I read through people's discussions or their profiles, I get extremely excited when I find someone who has a lot to offer. And Jabez LeBret is one of those people. I have not met him personally. I have not known him for a long time. But we belong to one of the very stimulating groups on LinkedIn. And there was a discussion that was going around, and I tapped into it, I think, just last week, and read a feedback from Jabez, and I was excited about it and invited him to be on the air to share all his skills, not all, because we would not have enough time, but to share some of the great insight that he has around social media, LinkedIn, and all of that. So again, I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. And before
Absolutely.
I ask you to tell people a little bit about you, Jabez, does that have any spiritual connotation to it?
The name is a scriptural name. It's actually from the Old Testament.
I know that, and I was wondering whether your parents were spiritual or the person who named you.
Oh, I mean, I was named Jabez decades before that. Bruce Wilkinson wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez, so I would say we were a little ahead of the curve on that one.
Oh, no, I think the answer is yes to that, because the Bible was written long before he wrote the book, too.
That's,
so.
That is true.
Oh, well, anyway, my brother, it's a blessed name to have, you know?
Oh, it is like, indeed.
It is a blessed name. Every day you wake up and every day that somebody calls your name, they are sending blessing your way. So I just
It's not everybody that gets that opportunity, so I'm very thankful for that.
Oh, yes, that's true, because some people really have some jacked up names, I'm telling you. People need to think before they name their kids now. Well, let us just get into the task at hand. Would you take a few minutes and just introduce yourself to the listeners, please?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I want to thank all the listeners that are on the phone and online today for listening, you know, and investing in themselves and taking some time out of their day, you know, to come here to this incredible show and enrich themselves and their lives. You know, I come from pretty humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. I come from a decently broken home, and I grew up in Spokane, Washington, and never graduated from high school, and actually had gone on to eventually go back and get my GED and get into college. And after I'd gotten out of college, I kind of went down became a speaker. I started speaking at high schools, sharing my story of when I was growing up. And I don't tell you that I came from a broken home, you know, to impress anybody. I tell you guys just so that you know that what we're going to talk about today and the skills and the techniques we're going to talk about is nothing extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
It really is something that I think that if people can adopt a simple strategy to their online marketing and a simple strategy to their social media, you know, they open up a lot of opportunity for themselves in business and in life and, you know, the connections that they make. And you know, I guess just to kind of fast forward to today, you know, I work for a company here in Las Vegas that specializes in marketing to speakers and authors and celebrities. And we also have an online division, and that's kind of the part of the division I work mostly in.
Mm-hmm.
And through my consulting work, I just do a lot of social media consulting and mm-hmm. have really managed to help a lot of people like your listeners on mm-hmm. how to learn, you know, some better techniques for actually using social media to actually mm-hmm. drive business.
Mm-hmm,
instead of just get in there and just spend your time online.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jabez, I thank you for mentioning about your humble beginnings. And it was enriching that you mentioned that, because too many people in today's society keep blaming the system, the hand they were dealt, their parents, and society for where they are today. Instead of getting up and brushing themselves off and take action. So
Absolutely. People
need to understand that when they look at you, when they look at other people in the world, you weren't born with a golden spoon in your mouth.
That's
you
right.
created that golden spoon and you begin to feed yourself. So I am glad that you just right opened the door with that so some people can see some light into that.
Absolutely.
Would you explain what's a Gen Y leader, or who is a Gen Y leader?
Well, most of my presentation work now for my keynotes that I do at corporations and associations revolves around creating Gen Y leaders and helping managers learn how to guide them to success. Really, a Gen Y or also known as a millennial, is anyone born between 1978 and 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're the Generation Y,
mm-hmm.
and we're kind of the newest up-and-comers into the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of corporations are struggling with how to communicate effectively with these employees.
Mm-hmm.
They've been called entitled. They've been called, know-it-all, and that they don't understand the importance of experience and working hard. And you know, I'm there to help them learn my generation to learn how to effectively rise to organizations and to help managers learn how to effectively communicate because communication is key, and that's also mostly what we're going to talk about today when it comes to social media is it's about communication and really understanding how to communicate effectively.
Yeah, because this is the same generation that is gung-ho set on doing all the things that was never done in any other generation. And they are going to get it done quickly because this generation has a true understanding of the digital era that we are in. So they are going to like cut the learning curve in more than half, if you may. But I think a lot of the conflict is arising out of people from my era. We don't want to listen because of the simple reason that we think we know it all. And, and you know, because we are so accustomed to work hard, working hard and not smart. And this
right.
generation, the Gen Y generation, understand about working smart and utilizing it all.
Yeah,
so.
You know, technology, utilizing mm-hmm. team, collaborative mm-hmm. environments, you know, and we were raised with parents and grandparents and the people around us told us that we could do anything we wanted.
That's
and
right.
And that was the mantra that we heard our entire lives. You can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really taken that to heart. And it's unfortunate sometimes I think that gets miscommunicated by my generation. You know, but on the flip side, there's something to be said for working hard and understanding that sometimes you just got to roll up your sleeves and stick to it until you can get it done.
Yeah,
and,
you know,
there's a balance.
Yeah, yes, because I think we can work hard without it becoming taxing, because it's like now in this mm-hmm. as we linger a bit on this digital age that we are in. Working hard doesn't mean that by the sweat of your brow you eat bread, but working hard is connecting to every person you can, regardless of where they are, and you'll mm-hmm. get the work done. Instead of you, because you're an entrepreneur, you think, I got to do it all. No.
Oh,
and that's
no, you
what
definitely shouldn't you shouldn't be doing it all, because you know what,
you know?
You're not best at everything.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you should be out there actively trying to find people that are better than you at things mm-hmm. that you don't want to do or that you're not very good at,
exactly.
and trying to get them to become collaborative partners and help you grow in what you're doing.
That's right. And I think with that being said, I think that this is why when we look at the Gen Y entrepreneurs, that's why they are flourishing so. And you know, we look at the older generation who have been working hard for so many years, still are sitting and they become complacent and nothing is happening. And this is why you're here this morning, Jabez, so you can help us understand the importance of social media, how we can embrace it and utilize it. And I know there are a million things we could have been having a conversation about this morning, but we have narrowed it down to this the social media, because I think this is what will help us. So,
and you know, I think it's important, and I get a lot of really positive feedback when I'm doing consulting with small businesses and consulting with business owners on, you know, to all your listeners right now, I just want you to know that, you know, you have permission to learn. You have permission to slow down for a second and learn this new skill, learn this new environment, just like you've gone through your entire life learning new things as you go. You are not, it's never too late, and you're mm-hmm. nowhere near behind. So many people think, oh my gosh, I haven't jumped in yet, or, well, I'm kind of in it, but I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm so much farther behind everybody else. And you know what? Everybody else is saying the same thing. Even us younger generations feel like we don't quite get it all. So, you know, I think it's important that you know that it's okay. I give you permission mm-hmm. to stop and learn this stuff, mm-hmm. and you're going to be just fine. I mean, you're going to be shocked at how simple it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Jabez, for the entrepreneur who still, I'm going to take it way out there in left field, this entrepreneur right now who is listening, they don't even buy their first computer yet. They don't even have a computer mm-hmm. yet. So I was glad that
perfect.
You began by saying you have the permission to learn. So just mm-hmm. lay it out from the beginner's phase. Give us a little checklist for this person who is going to go buy their first computer today.
All right. Well, checklist number one is I would absolutely recommend that you buy a laptop so that you can be mobile. That would be my first little bit of advice. You don't have to buy brand new. and absolutely buy a used laptop and, you know, take it into a computer shop and have them, you know, make sure that everything's cleaned up on the computer for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you get your computer, pretty much today, all the computers come with the basic software that you're going to need to do your day-to-day tasks on a computer, including access to the internet, Word documents so you can type up documents, spreadsheets if you need to do any numbers in your business. But let's focus for a second on the internet side, since that's what we're here to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And what you need to do is, number one, you need to either find internet access, which is why having a laptop's handy. You know, I mean, Starbucks provides free internet access. A lot of, I know in like Seattle, the whole downtown's covered by free internet access. So, you know, do a little bit of asking around. You know, go to your local library and ask them, you know, where can I get online? And in fact, even if you don't have the funds to get a computer right now, maybe you're in transition and you're just kind of getting started, the local library is a great resource for a place where you can actually get access to the internet and not even have to own your own computer. Once you get access and you get online and you're plugged in, I would strongly advise you to take some time and go on to Google and just get onto Google, which is just google.com, and just spend some time searching Google. All Google is a big resource of information, and I want your users to get used to going to Google to ask questions. And I oftentimes will just type in a question that I have as just exactly as I'd ask the question. You know, how do I start a LinkedIn account? Might be a question you could type into Google. And you will find articles that will walk you through step by step of what I'm about to share with you that will also be able to help you get started in this process. But once you get ready to jump into the social media world, there are really only three accounts that you need to be worried about having.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Twitter account, a Facebook account, and a LinkedIn account. And you need to establish at least an account on one of those three, if not all three. But I don't want you to get overwhelmed, so don't feel like you have to tackle it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of business owners, I generally tend to recommend LinkedIn as a good place to start, either LinkedIn or Facebook. And that's because that's just kind of the easier environment to leverage yourself, the easier environment to get business. You know, at the end of the day, this is all about making sure that you're driving revenue and you're driving customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's get you started in the right environment. And so that would be kind of my beginner jump into the scene kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. On Facebook, thank you, Jabez. On Facebook, do you recommend that the business owner have a fan page or just a regular Facebook?
That's a great, great question, and we get asked that question all the time. And it's mainly because I think that there's still a lot of ambiguity out there as far as to how I use Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And what exactly is this Facebook thing supposed to mean for business?
Mm-hmm.
There is no question that you want to have your personal page, and you also want to connect what you're referring to as a fan page.
Mm-hmm.
And creating a fan page is really simple. You know, Facebook and LinkedIn, they make it easy to set up these things. There's big buttons that say create a fan page, and you hit that button, and they walk you through step by step, you know, enter in this information here, put in this information here, and they really make it so that it's easy to do step by step. They really have taken all the complexity out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you absolutely want to have a fan page, and the reason is that fan pages have more flexibility as you grow. They're more scalable. And you need to be putting yourself in the mindset, especially for the smaller business owner, you need to be putting yourself in the mindset of scalability. You need to expect to grow. You need to just assume you are going to be successful. If you can't just expect that you're going to actually need to have the bigger, better Facebook account, then you're already limiting your success before you even get started.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If I may just take a minute here, Jabez, I want to remind the callers that the listeners that you can call in whenever you have a question. You do not need to wait for the end of our conversation. So remember, you can call in at 646-915-8166. Thank you so much, Jabez, for allowing me to interject that. So let us talk about Facebook a little more and then we want to go into LinkedIn, and then we'll do Twitter last.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. So I guess if we were going to piggyback onto this idea of starting a Facebook fan page, you know, the getting the pages up and running is kind of the easy part. I think where people struggle is, how do I go out there and find people to interact with?
Yeah.
You know, how do I get followers? How do I get people to know that I'm out there? You know, it's kind of like when you start off, you're like a shop in the middle of the forest. Nobody knows where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of feel like an island sometimes. And I want to kind of take that barrier away from you by opening up this opportunity to let you know where everybody is. And so the fastest way to get to people that are aligned with what you do and aligned with what you're trying to accomplish and what you believe in, or even share characteristics that you have, is there are separate groups. Within Facebook, there are groups, just like there are in LinkedIn, which we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. But there are groups of people that get together that share common goals. And so maybe one of your business owners on the line right now runs a pet store. And they run this small pet store, and they don't really know how to best effectively get out there, and they want to get their word out through social media. Well, if you go into Facebook, there's a search box. It's just a blank box. You can type in whatever you want, and you can simply put in, you know, dog owners or you know, cat owners. And it will pull up groups with tens of thousands of people that have all joined the same group, that all share the same interest in that topic. Now, if you step back for a second and think to yourself, if I'm a business owner and, you know, I know that my customers are interested in these five different topics, then I know that if I go into Facebook and I start typing in those topics, I'm going to find groups of people that are all have come together with underneath that common umbrella. Well, now what you do is you join the group, and then you simply start interacting.
Mm-hmm.
You start going on to the group, and people will post comments, and they'll post articles, and people will talk about, you know, their experience within that part of their life. Maybe it's their dog owner, and I just got a new puppy, and here's some pictures of my new puppy, and maybe you're an expert on certain things to do with raising puppies and weaning puppies, and, you know, get on there and provide feedback. Get on there and provide valuable content to the community, and be thinking about, how can I provide value to this community of this certain type of person? And then they will inevitably start interacting with you back and forth.
Okay. And that is true, because you're a living example of what you're saying now, because that's how we met on LinkedIn, through a discussion group. So I know you practice what you preach. So let us go. Let us go to LinkedIn now, because they say time goes fast when we're having fun. Let's talk about LinkedIn.
Well, LinkedIn is your business to business area. There's a lot of it. Used to be where you would go to, like, connect just from one business person to the next business person. But what a lot of people forget is that business people are consumers too. You know, they still buy goods and services just like everybody else. And so there really is a huge opportunity in LinkedIn that is not being leveraged at all. I would say LinkedIn is kind of akin to going to a networking meeting. If you could picture walking into a big full room with, you know, with LinkedIn, it happens to be millions of people. But if you could imagine, you know, scaling it down to a couple hundred people in a room that all have different professions, or they're transitioning from one job to the next, or they're business owners, they're all congregating in this one place called LinkedIn. And it is a real, real hotbed for business growth and really getting out there and targeting your target clients.
Yeah, it's interesting that you began your statement on LinkedIn saying that, because a lot of conversation I'm having with entrepreneurs, they really don't think that LinkedIn is the place for them, just because they are thinking it is only for big corporations and an organization. And I said, no, I am an entrepreneur. I'm on there, and I know many more. But it is so valued that you just said all the people on LinkedIn are consumers too. And that is true. If we begin to look on that although they aren't there because they are an IBMer or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but after they're through punching that clock, they become consumer, and they might be in your niche market, but then they couldn't contact you if they don't know about you because you're not on there. So thank you for giving us that piece of insight.
Yeah, I mean, it is about perspective, right? And it's important
yes.
to understand that don't discount something because you're assuming
that's right.
one side or the other.
That's right. Now, how do we begin to pushing numbers? And I maybe pushing is not a nice word. How do we begin to utilize these connections that we are making on there?
Mm-hmm.
How do we convert these into contracts, if you may? I know
yes.
we got to build relationship and all of that, but how do we move it from relationship to contract?
So there's really a few techniques that you're going to want to use here, and I think that you'll appreciate this, Daphne, that
yes.
it is more pull marketing than it is going to be push marketing.
Mm-hmm. Did you say pull or pull?
Yeah, I said pull.
P-U-L-L. Okay, thank you.
You're literally going to be casting out lines and pulling
mm-hmm.
in business
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being aggressive and pushing your agenda.
Yes.
And I think that is another piece of the puzzle that really lets people kind of take a sigh of relief, that this isn't going to be one big pitchy, salesy experience. This is going to be something actually enjoyable.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And that's important to know, that this is something that actually at the end of the day is kind of fun. And the first thing that you need to do is, similar to Facebook, you need to go out there and you need to join some groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I want your listeners to be very specific about the groups that they join. Now, you need to think about joining groups not that fit your interests or fit your profile, but joining groups that best define your target customer
mm-hmm.
and best define your target joint ventures and people that you would possibly partner up with.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the groups that you need to be targeting. Now, I always recommend that you join at least two or three groups that are within your profession
mm-hmm.
so that way you can establish some credibility, because it is important to be in groups that are also part of your profession or your
mm-hmm.
business, your trade.
Mm-hmm.
But it is more important to write down a demographic of who is my target customer, what's my ideal customer look like, and how much money do they make, what kind of job might they have, do they live in a certain part of the country, do they work for a certain kind of company? Anything you can do demographics wise is really important. And also to write down, if I were to ever partner with somebody, what would that person probably look like? What would their demographic information be? And then I want you to go out there and take that bit of information, and I want you to join groups that are fitting those categories. Let me give you an example, because sometimes it helps to actually break it down into real life instead of just all this ideal stuff over
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of keynote presentations
mm-hmm.
at corporations and associations. So I naturally went in and I joined the SHRM group, the Society for Human Resources.
Mm-hmm.
Because HR departments tend to be a lot of departments that do a lot of hiring
mm-hmm.
of speakers. And so it's valuable for me to be inside and interacting in that group, because those are a lot of my potential clients that will hire me to come speak for them.
Mm-hmm.
We also do a lot of, I do a lot of internet marketing consulting. And so naturally I joined some small business groups that involved, dealing with, maybe they're small financial firms, or, they're individual brokers for insurance, or, companies that may not have been exposed a lot to internet marketing, but know they need it. And I'm going to go inside those groups and I'm going to begin to add value to those groups because those are potential future clients. And on the last point of the joint venture side, I look for groups that have people that do similar things that are not competitive to what I do, but complementary to what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I join those groups as well. So those are the three kinds of the three perspectives you need to have when joining groups on LinkedIn.
And for those of us who are listening to what you just said, Jabez, I need to go in to clean all the group stuff, because we joined some of the wrong groups. How can we unjoin groups?
Absolutely. And don't even people, you know, I was talking to a client the other day and they were like, oh my goodness. They're like, well, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, by leaving the group. And I was like, trust me, I don't think they'll really notice, you know, because it's a pretty fast moving environment. And you got to think if there's a group with 5,000 people in it, and if you just kind of are no longer interacting in the group, they figure maybe you just went somewhere else. You go to your groups tab on LinkedIn. And as it pulls up all of the groups that you're in, there's a button that says groups. You click on that. It'll pull up all of your groups. And when you hover over your group, there's actually an option to leave group. And it is absolutely, absolutely okay to leave groups that are not benefiting you, because sometimes you join a group thinking it's going to be the right group. And then once you start kind of getting in and interacting with the group, or you realize it's not really aligned with what you were thinking it was. And it's okay to go ahead and leave that group and go find another one.
Good. That was a very selfish question. That was just to benefit me.
You'd be surprised. I get that question from pretty much every single client. Ask the exact same question. Is it okay for me to leave groups, and how do I do it? Because we all get in there and get excited. And we start joining all these different groups because it's this new place, right? And our eyes get really big, and we just jump into everything. And then we step back and we land on our feet and we say, okay, now let's think about this from a business perspective, because ultimately, you know, we need to make sure we're being targeting with our marketing here.
Exactly. And this is why we need to always think business as well as adding value. And if you are somewhere that you're not adding value, then you need to go someplace where you can do that. Because my belief is that wherever I add value, then value will be added to me. But if you're just hanging out there stewing, then nothing is going to happen there. So thank you for that valuable feedback just now. So let's talk a bit about Twitter, and then we can go back over all three.
Sure, that'd be great. We'll touch on Twitter, and then we'll need to. There is another component to LinkedIn we'll jump into here in a minute that refers to how you need to interact within the groups, because I think your adding value piece is going to be the crucial piece to the entire puzzle.
Yes.
Twitter is a very, very unique machine. The easiest way I've heard Twitter described is it microblogging. For those of you that have never been involved in Twitter, you literally get 140 characters per message. And if you don't know how many characters that is, just try typing out 140 characters in a Word document. You will see really quickly how short of a two sentences or one sentence 140 characters is. And that is really what has made Twitter unique and why Twitter became popular.
Mm-hmm.
It is because it doesn't allow us to do what we so commonly do, and that is to go way too into detail or share way much more than we need to, when realistically we should always be thinking about how do we boil down our message to be as concise as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what Twitter is all about, is the ultimate in being concise. You get 140 characters, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have noticed, I have been at seminars, and I learned this last year, because this is the first time I was doing it. I was sitting next to one of the other speakers, and she was tweeting, and I was thinking, that's kind of disrespectful. She have a colleague speaking, and she's tweeting. But then after the presentation was finished, I asked her, why were you tweeting? And she said, oh, because I'm telling people that she's speaking and what I'm getting out of it. And I said, how cool. Because she was keeping her network informed about the conference and what was taking place. So that's another neat way. And she said, I found out that people learn about me based on that, because somebody else sent that tweet to them and they heard me speaking, which would normally not have happened. So,
yeah, it really has created this etiquette that we're not really quite sure how to handle yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has never been in our lives before, this kind of opportunity to communicate this way. And you bring up a very good point that the whole value in Twitter is the getting of the message out to the masses, being able to reach, to be able to reach way farther beyond where you normally could reach in your own network.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a perfect example of somebody that was tweeting valuable information during an event, which normally would have been perceived as rude back in the day,
mm-hmm.
now would be perceived as actually a really, really kind, complimentary thing to do for somebody, because she just told all of her thousands of people that she's following about this person and
mm-hmm.
what they're doing.
That's right. And this is why we as older folks need to be continuously learning and know when the trends has changed and what is acceptable now. Because me looking from that through my old school eye was impolite to be doing that. But then when she took the time to explain to me, I understood the benefit of what she was trying to do. I think we just need to learn how to do it complimentary.
Yes, and then as a professional speaker, let me get on the record for saying that it would be perceived ill of me on stage if I was standing there looking over an audience and everyone was tweeting.
Mm. Yes.
So there is a balance. There is a balance.
Exactly.
As with everything, there is a balance. I would feel like no one was listening at that
exactly,
point.
Exactly.
Even if they were all telling everybody how wonderful the information was, I still would feel like I was not being heard. So
exactly.
Do strike a balance with your social media.
Exactly.
And that goes for all channels of social media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, do it in disguise if you're doing, you know, like put it behind the chair or something. Don't just blatantly sit out there and doing it. It's that.
And if you're really good, you can start tweeting behind your back if you really.
Oh my God!
Kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
The teenagers. Trust me, I think
they're amazing.
The high schoolers are doing that. The teacher said no cell phone, and I don't know how they do it. Oh,
They're texting by Braille.
Oh, they are something else. What I like about it, and I don't even know that I can explain it, but there was something I have done some time back that connects my Twitter to my Facebook to my LinkedIn. And
mm-hmm.
I did not realize that was happening, and I kept looking back, why do I have this thing repeating? Then I realized my accounts are connected, so it makes it easier. I only put it at one place.
And there's actually a good service for that, too. So if your listeners are out there, and, you know, I'm not affiliated with these companies at all, but I find them valuable, and I always like to share resources when I find them. Hootsuite, so HOOTSUITE.com, Hootsuite.com, and PingFM, so that's PING.FM. Those are two websites that will do what you're talking about, which they will actually connect them for you, and then you have one central place you go where you put in your information, and those services will send it to all the social media sites for you.
Yeah, and it makes it easy. Yeah, so let's thank you, Jabez. Let's go back. You said there was an additional component of LinkedIn you wanted to concentrate on.
And this is going to really kind of spill over to your other social media avenues as well, your Facebook and your Twitter. But one of the things I really want people to grab a hold of here about LinkedIn is there's basically two ways to utilize LinkedIn. And the first way, you had mentioned adding value and the importance of adding value to a community inside the discussions of these groups. And so what we didn't get to is when you join all these groups, then what do you do? Now that
mm-hmm.
I'm in the group, now what? Well, there's these things that Daphne had mentioned earlier where her and I had met in these discussions. And the discussions are the primary function of the groups. So inside the groups, the first thing that you can do is start a discussion or read the discussions that are currently going on. And this is not an area for you to pitch what you do. This is not an area for you to sell your services. It's not really an area for you to push your product. It is an area for you to add value to the community, knowing that if you contribute to their success, in turn, they will come back and contribute to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be providing valuable discussions. Now, those come in two forms. Those come in really provocative questions, so really good questions about things that get people stimulated and they get them to think and they get them to act and interact with the discussion, and useful information. The article the discussion that I had put up there that you had jumped on was specifically about using LinkedIn. And it was something that I felt in that group, it was valuable for them to know. Here's some new techniques. And I was able to get a lot of people to begin to interact with me based off of this discussion. And here is the most amazing thing. So if you still are in doubt if this LinkedIn thing is worth it, this one discussion that you and I met on that I had started about a month ago now has over like 35 comments on it. And that's great. 35 comments is wonderful. But what's most important is LinkedIn sends out emails to everybody inside the group. And an email went out to all 6,000 some odd people in this one group with my name as the first thing that they saw when they opened up the email. And it said, discussion by Jabez LeBret. And it had my discussion topic. And when you click on it, it takes you straight to the discussion that I started.
Oh.
Now, let's step back for a second and think about this from a business perspective. I am in 50 groups. If I only did this once a week, if only once a week I did this, it would pretty much, and I took 2 weeks off, this would be a whole year, and I were to get one email every week that went out with my name on it as the number one spot on that email from this LinkedIn group, I would touch well over 200,000 people in a year.
Wow.
Now, I don't know about you, but having 200,000 people see my name and my email and my profile show up in their inbox, that's pretty good exposure, and that's a lot of opportunity there for people to come back and interact with you. The important thing is that you know how to manage those interactions, and really you know how to get those group discussions to be up inside that number one spot on those emails. And those are some techniques that you need to make sure that you go out there and learn. How do I get my discussion so that it is the popular discussion and it is the valuable discussion? But I want your listeners to be out there actively interacting in that space.
And that alone was worth our conversation. To be honest, I had no idea that LinkedIn sent an email out to all the members about the discussion. I didn't know that. So that was worth it. Now,
yeah, so once I figured out how to get my discussion on that email, I was really able to start seeing people contact me.
And how do we do that? How do we get our discussion on that email list? How we rise? How does the cream rise for us?
Well, that is a great question. It's a pretty involved little part of the process. I guess if I had to kind of boil it down to a couple simple steps that you could take now, starting off now if you're new. Number one, you want to make sure that you're posting regularly.
Okay.
It's important that you're interacting with the group. So LinkedIn has something they call an influence score, and it's how much do you interact. And, you know, it's important that you're in there and you're not just posting your own discussions, but you're also adding comments to other people's discussions. Yeah, you got to participate. Like, nobody likes the person that shows up to the networking event. And remember, this really is one big networking event.
Yes.
Nobody likes that person that shows up and all they do is walk around, shove their business card in your face and say, hey, want to do business, want to do business, want to do business, want to do business.
That's right.
Nobody really respects that. That doesn't get anywhere anymore. And that's why I'm saying, you know, you got to get in there and add value and really interact. And, you know, the other part that I didn't mention, so I said that there's two pieces. There's the adding value to the discussions. Mm-hmm. The other part is going out there and actively finding your target.
Yeah.
So, like, seeking out your target. And I tell people, I write down a list of my exact ideal person. If this person called me on the phone today or I was able to get them on the phone, I would know with almost certainty that we would do business together. And if we didn't, I know that there's potential for future business.
How long did it take?
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how long did it take you to develop that, to know exactly how to identify that?
That changes. As small business, yeah, I mean, you're always going to be improving on your target, but so many small business owners and so many entrepreneurs and even big businesses sometimes forget the value in knowing who your customer is.
Yes, Yes.
And you have to spend time sitting down without distractions, turning off the email, turning off the phone, maybe even go on the old school route with a pen and paper and start writing down, what is your customer like? What does your customer do? What kind of activities is your customer involved in? You will get more marketing ideas out of spending an hour writing down information about your customer than you could get sitting there trying to stew all day long about what's going to be your next tactic to get more customers.
That's right.
So
That's right.
It really is an important investment in your business to sit down and say, hey, I'm going to take a look at my target client. And I would say, you know, an hour should be long enough. If you've been in business for a while, if you're brand new to your industry, then it's going to take a little bit longer.
That's right.
But, you know, you need to find these characteristics of these people and then go out into LinkedIn and you need to find those people. You go in there and you start searching for them. Track them down.
The bottom line is always, it's simply, you know, it's always going back to basics. But, you know, we always look for more sophisticated opportunities. But until we have the basics under control, we are not ready for anything else, you know?
I couldn't agree more. And oftentimes the more sophisticated techniques, you know, really rise to the top once you've got the basics down.
Yes, yes, yes. So if we would follow it and just go back to basic and stick to it and practice that, then we'd get it. You had mentioned that there were two ways to utilize LinkedIn, and
discussions in the groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one's the discussion in the groups, and the second one is this targeted. And if I might, Destiny, I'm going to give your audience a little bit of a bonus here, if that's okay.
That's all right.
This is a technique that I generally, this is one of my like secret weapon techniques.
Ooh.
That I kind of hide away in my chest of like, don't open this unless you've got top secret clearance.
Ooh, you big time, huh?
No, we are on the topic, so this is so relevant to what we're talking about I have to share it with your group here. All right, so you write up your target client, and then this is the second method, is you write up your target client. You go into LinkedIn and you search for them by typing in those characteristics and using the filters to find this person. And once you find that ideal person, now there shouldn't be a lot of them, right? If you do a really good job at boiling down your target client, there shouldn't be a million of your target client. We're talking ideal client, but or joint venture partner. This works for either one. What I want you to do is I want you to go onto their profile. Once you find this person, go onto their profile. I want you to read through their whole profile. Find out, you know, make sure that you understand who they are and that they are your ideal client. Almost always, people will have their email address on their LinkedIn profile, and they will also have their company website. This is the crucial part. They will have their company website. Click on their company website, and this is going to blow you away, but I want you to go way back to the basics. I want you to go buy a card, and I want you to mail the person a handwritten note saying that you would like the opportunity to connect with them on LinkedIn. I don't want you to email them. I don't want you to call them. I want you to get really old school, and I want you to break out that pen, blow the dust off of the card, and I want you to write it, and I want you to put a stamp on it, to throw it in the mail, and then I want you to follow up with an email about a week and a half later, or a week, depending on how far it is that you had to mail the letter. And I want you to step back and think for a second about how powerful that is.
Wow.
If you were to get a letter in the mail, and the letter in the mail wasn't to pitch me anything, it wasn't to sell me anything, it wasn't even to meet me for coffee, it was simply, I would like the opportunity to connect with you on LinkedIn.
That is.
And then
powerful.
I was followed up with an email saying, hey, I sent you a card, I just wanted to reach out to you again, I'd love to connect with you. It's more than getting the connection with that person on LinkedIn. Think of top-of-mind marketing here.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how relevant you are to them. You think they're going to read your profile? I guarantee they're going to look through your entire profile. There's an opportunity there to really, really make sure that your top, top tier are becoming aware of who you are. Now, please, you know that this technique is almost sure to bring you more business. So So unless you're ready for more business, I don't want your listeners, unless they're ready for more business, don't even bother mailing out any of these postcards.
I mean, that was powerful, because now these are the days where everybody is texting and writing, and you go out and buy a card. That's a winner right there. Thank you.
I'd love to say it's revolutionary, but it's not. It's just simply back to the basics.
Yes, it's simply back to basics. But if you are the only person that does it, that's a winner for you, because there's nobody wants to go back to basic these days, because they are thinking that it takes too much time. Okay.
Well, just think of it. What is one extra client a month worth to you? How much would one new client per month be worth to you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you can say that that person's worth enough, then I would say go to Hallmark, buy some cards, and start mailing.
And just do that. Just do that. All right. All good stuff. All good stuff. And, what you're telling us now, it's not that it's new, but it's just helping to cement in what we hear, because we are always looking for the next new thing before we even use the things we are know. So it's great that you are coming and really cementing in what we have been hearing all along, and just going back to the basics with everything. So we have only a limited time remaining on this episode. So I want to just give you the opportunity to just summarize your conversation with us and highlight the points you want to leave the listeners with. And then just tell people how they can get in touch with you, please, Jabez.
Definitely. Thank you, Daphne. if you don't think that social media is an important thing to be involved with, I think that the wrong part of that perspective is that you're missing out on the fact that you genuinely are missing an opportunity to reach clients that you didn't even know were looking for you. Mm-hmm. And, I just want to encourage your audience to go out there. It's Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and I want you to start with LinkedIn or Facebook. I want you to learn how to build a fan page in Facebook, because I want you in the right mindset that you're going to think about growth.
Jabez, we have a caller. Would you allow me to take this call, please?
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 4446. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
It's Chef Daniel calling. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Lancelotta. How are you?
I'm in a car listening to this on my iPhone driving. And I pulled
technology.
Over.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by your guest.
Thank you.
It's got to be the most incredible amount of information I've heard in a long time. There's so much to digest, no pun intended. And I'm just trying to do this all myself. I've looked to people to do this as a branding for myself using the social media opportunities. But I am definitely overwhelmed by it, and I find myself getting slowed down by getting started. What do I do?
That is a good question. It is easy to get crippled by the sheer magnitude of, oh, my gosh, there's 15,000 directions I feel like I need to be going today. And I want you to do just one thing for me. I want you to promise yourself that every single day you are going to do one more thing with your social media that is going to move you one step forward. I want you to start focusing focus on one of them, either LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter. But if you're going to go like LinkedIn, I want you to start with day one, I'm going to open up my account. Day two, I'm going to start filling out my profile. Day three, I'm going to go out there and find some people that are on my email list that are already in LinkedIn. And LinkedIn makes it really easy to do this, but I don't want you to feel like you have to do it all yesterday. I want you to simply take one step a day, and you should be able to do this in 15, 25 minutes a day. You should be able to simply block out some time on your schedule and maybe it's only three times a week, but that you just start taking those baby steps forward and you start implementing one piece after the next, and then you start joining some groups. And then maybe I write my first discussion. And then maybe I respond to, and then maybe the next time I respond to somebody else's discussion. Don't think that you're going to go out there and just run a marathon without practicing a little bit. It's okay to just take this one small step at a time.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm on most of these things, but I put up a profile. I don't complete it. I think it's a lot about procrastination on my behalf.
Well, you're not alone, and I'd say that's actually pretty common. What happens is the sheer volume of it all becomes overwhelming, and then we get crippled by the fact that I simply don't know what to do next. So here's what I want, and this goes for all the listeners out there. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to simply say to myself, this week I'm going to focus on this part of social media. And I'm just going to interact with it, just this part. I'm not going to worry about anything else. I'm only going to worry about finding the right groups, or I'm only going to worry about writing down my target customer's information. And then I simply just want you to, and before you know it, a few months down the road, you'll look back and you'll go, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I have come so far from where I was just 2-3 months ago, and all I did was implement one simple technique per week. And I would like to encourage everybody, this might actually be easier, because Daphne, you mentioned kind of like how to get a hold of me, but this might be more beneficial, especially for LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. My name is spelled J-A-D as in boy, E-Z, and my last name is Lebret, L-E-B as in boy, R-E-T. And for those of you that are listening in the car or you're not in a place with a pen or paper, if you go to Daphne's website, you will see me. My website's on my don't go to my website on there. Just go ahead and make sure you get the spelling of my name. Go on to LinkedIn and go ahead and find my profile on LinkedIn. And I give you full permission to take how I did my profile and just copy how I did it. I mean, obviously, and you know what? If you want to take all of my words and put my bio in there, that's fine too. If you want to put my website, I'm kidding. No, but what I'm saying is go ahead and go in there and look at how I set up my profile and use that as a starting point. I want you to use that as your yeast starter to get going. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to, then you can focus on the other things like joining some groups and starting some discussions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to thank you, Mr. Lanzalotto, for calling in. We are down to the wire here. And Jabez, what you just said is it is so accurate, because I remember joining Twitter, and for a while I couldn't remember what my Twitter username was and everything. I kept asking my girlfriend, what was it again? And then I remembered, and I went on and I began tweeting. And before you knew it, I began getting followers. And I said, oh my God, this is so easy. All I have to do is just do this, and then the numbers are coming. So I'm at this stage now where I have to find out how to convert these into customers and more meaningful relationships. So, you know, there's good thing to talk about. Yes, go ahead.
Definitely. Let me leave you with one last thought on that, because I think you're touching on an important thing here on conversion, how important it is to convert the people that are following you and the people you're with into sales. There's two things that you can't forget. Number one, you got to ask for the sale. If you don't ever ask people to come look at your product and buy your stuff, you're never going to sell it. Mm-hmm. So you do have to at some point say, hey, I have a product, come buy it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, a really good way to do this is to ask the people that are following you their opinion on your product, service, website, whatever it is that you offer. Reach out, throw out a big line and say, what do you guys think about what I'm offering? And I guarantee you, you will get more traffic to your website, you will get more people interacting with your product than you could ever imagine, simply by asking them their opinion.
Wonderful.
People love to share their opinion.
Oh, yes. I did a survey the other day and got some people to do just that. So it was... It was really rewarding. So now we have 5 minutes remaining. Let me just go back. Mr. Lanzalotto, did that answer your question? Do you have another question?
That was fantastic. No, I have a lot to think about. It certainly was an extremely useful program. Your guest is amazing. And I like the fact that he shares so much. That's
okay.
So and I
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
share this,
so much.
Share this with your friends. You know,
that's
go back and listen to this podcast and email it.
Yeah.
Email it to your friends. You know, don't bogart the information. You know, get out there and share it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a great day. Okay.
Thank you.
We have 5 minutes remaining, Jabez. You can share your summarizing thoughts and then just give out your contact information, please.
Yeah. We were there on LinkedIn. We were talking about making sure you join the right groups, making sure you fill out your target market information, and making sure that you get out there and go find your clients. For those of you that are looking to get into Twitter, there's a very, very good book by a friend of mine, Joel Kalm, called Twitter Power. And I would certainly recommend that as a good resource. Twitter Power is a great resource for learning how to get into Twitter. So we didn't really jump into it too much, but Joel Kalm is a great resource for that. He really is an expert in his field. And a website that your readers should probably be aware of, or your listeners, is copyblogger.com. That's copyblogger, BLOGGER.com. Go in there and check out that website. I'm not affiliated with them at all, but it's just a website that I read all the time. And again, I just want you guys to get as much resource out of this as you possibly can. My
would
information,
would you spell Joel's last name, please?
Sure. Joel is J-O-E-L, and last name is Kalm, which is C-O-M-M. That's two M's.
Okay,
Joel Kalm.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Think of Joel Communication, just without the education part. And then you can always find me. My website address is on your site, JabezLabrette.com. We even have a special connection there for you on the site with the link. And then you can always find me on LinkedIn at JabezLabrette, and I accept open invitations. So if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, please do feel free to send me a list there. I would be more than happy and honored to help you guys out wherever I can. So I'm the only Jabez Labrette out there. So if you Google Jabez Labrette, you will find every other 15,000 ways to get a hold of me. But that is pretty much the easiest way to find me.
Okay. Well,
I'm on Facebook as well. So
yes.
And anywhere people want to find me, I don't mind.
Right. Jabez, I want to thank you for adding value not only to me as an individual, but to my listeners and to my vision and mission. I pray for your continued success and for helping us to understand the Gen Y generation. And I'm going to make a promise to listen to them more and to really gather some of the great insights that they are implementing in cutting the learning curve. I pray that you'll find it worthy to come back on this show and continue success in everything that you do. And I will see you on LinkedIn.
It's been a pleasure. I'll see you on LinkedIn. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody. That was Jabez Labrette, and what a wealth of information. Remember that you all have a destiny, and I want you to follow your destiny. Send everyone to download this and share it. This is one episode that you want to pass on to others. There's a wealth of information there. See you next week when we have the power panel. So long, everybody.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I try. trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Never ever see it again the same way. You'll never